You know, I often, I think it's hilarious how a lot of times whenever you're talking to a woman,
yeah,
you always bring up the shits, the pants shitting story.
Ah, well, I feel, first of all, I feel like it started organically. I wasn't planning on talking about that.
Right.
I find it interesting that, you know, men have these issues and women have these issues. And right. I was just wondering if a woman was to defecate by accident on a date, it would be Tracy. You know what I mean? So I figured it was, you know, and I mean that in the best way possible.
Right.
You know, if it happened to me, it could happen to anybody. Right. I actually try to plan these things. I try to go to the bathroom, you know, in my own time so that when I go out, it doesn't happen. Like, I plan these things.
Right.
So, but, you know, I've had three instances in my life where things, when shit happened. So... So I was wondering, and I don't think she actually answered that question.
Yeah.
She kind of, but anyway, it's very nice that she called in. I told her that we're going to do 5 minutes.
Mm. It lasted pretty much the entire episode.
I think it's funny if we ever hear it again, we had a normal, like, whatever, and then she calls in and the whole thing just becomes completely, all I wanted to do was do like a 5-10 minute, like, trailer.
A prelude, yeah.
But then it became, you know, once she starts.
Oh, yeah.
It really is like a hurricane.
You know, I was talking to you in the interim between the end of that episode and the recording of this one, and how, you know, I kind of equate this now as like the end of season 2 for our show.
Right.
We find that extra person, that this is all tentative, of course. We'll see how Thursday goes.
Right.
But, you know, it's like a show. That, like, it takes a couple seasons to find its footing.
Right.
Get into the best groove, and then it's solid for a good couple, like, 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I think we've just hit our groove. We're at the end of season 2, so now we're about to hit our prime.
It's possible. I mean, British Mark would be a good barometer of this, because he's been with us from the beginning. He's
our historian.
He might say that, oh, you know, that we just jumped the shark. We just added, like, you know how, like, on Big Bang Theory, the women start showing up.
Yeah, so, I mean, Penny was always there from the beginning, but...
Penny was always there, right. I feel like, you know, I like having the female energy as part of the show.
Yeah.
And what was eerie about that, about Hurricane Tracy, is that she's very similar to us.
Yeah.
And then, it's very weird. She had the same problem, that she thinks smoking is the best thing she's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
We think smoking is the best thing that, you know... our favorite activity in life is smoke. No, it's very weird to hear a woman say things that you think.
I think the problem is we don't really I don't really interact with women like on that level. So.
I do, and I'm often feel like we're on different planets.
Really?
But because a lot of women I talk to, you know, it's interesting to have a different exchange, but I usually feel like it's a different. Very different perspective. Two different perspectives trying to have a conversation. With Tracy, that was like talking to like a guy.
Right.
But she's not. She's a woman.
Right.
So it's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'm going to try to find differences on Thursday. Because I don't, you know, right. I'm going to try to see where she's a woman and where we're not.
I mean, besides the obvious.
Well, reasons. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't have a vulva. I don't have female parts.
Right.
I'm saying vulva because I just recently learned exactly where it is. You know, so I'm very proud. I'm very proud of my knowledge now. Howard Stern had a whole thing about the vulva versus the vagina and where it is, and now I have a better understanding. In case I ever see it again,
pretty educational, right?
Yeah. But it is weird. I mean, it really was real to hear her say things that we like. There wasn't much of a difference, really. No. I mean. Interesting. It makes me think maybe we're not so different from women.
We're not.
We are, though.
I mean, anatomically, yes, but I mean, well, even then, but I mean, some parts, but...
But mentally, almost most of the women I talk to, I do feel like there's some part of the conversation where I'm like, okay, now they're going into the woman zone where I'm going to be polite and say, oh, yeah, sure, I get it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm not really getting what they're saying. You know, they're not, I'm not really, they're passionate about something that I'm not passionate about.
Right.
But the fact that, I mean, there was no point in that conversation that I didn't really care about what she was saying. Like she was, you know, she's, but I mean, I also have to remember that she's a hurricane and she's an actress. There's a lot of she has a lot of different personalities.
Right.
So, we'll see. We'll see. When she's here, it could be a different dynamic, mm-hmm. you know? I might have to clean a little bit. I mean, I do feel like it's not... My place is okay, but it's a very guy kind of place.
Right. I mean, it's like a guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like... It's not like a college... It's not unlike a college dorm, you know? It's a right. small space. You know, I got, you know, weights on the floor. I got, you know, things are kind of cluttered, but they're sort of organized in a cluttered sort of way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have... It's funny that she said that her place is, like, you know, dark and... Like, she seems like... She tries to come across as a classy lady, but she's not, you know? Like, she's not that far away from white trash. And in a good way. But, you know, white trash in the gutter. She would... You know, she likes to be in the gutter, you know?
Right, right.
Whatever, man. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't think no one likes to be in the gutter. They're just used to it.
Yes. And I also like the fact that she has no hope. See, the fact... But it's funny that when someone says that they have no hope, and they say that next to me, that kind of gives me hope.
Right.
Why is that?
Probably could... You know what it is? It's because... Because I know... Because for myself...
Right.
I'm unhappy, generally.
Right.
Well, okay. So, I'm unhappy, but at the same time, I'm content... I can be happy. So it's like I'm like right there in the middle.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And so what happens is I think when you see someone, especially someone who you may think is happy and it turns out they're not, it brings you up a bit. It makes you feel happy that you're not the only one. And it also makes you happy that
right.
the people that you think are happy actually aren't.
Right.
And
right. Yeah, yeah, I know. Right. And so the fact that she says that she says it, you know, tongue in cheek, but you know that underneath that there's a humongous amount of pain and emptiness, of course.
Because that type of humor
comes from absolute emptiness.
Oh yeah.
Losing all hope and ever finding somebody for them, you know.
That's how I'm able to deliver my material in such a dry way, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You can't be as funny as we are without being completely miserable.
Oh, yeah. Just like yesterday. So, just a little bit of development on my end, because I don't think I talked at all in the last episode.
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah. So, I had a part-time job going on for the past few months throughout the summer. Delivery job on Sundays, you know, in addition to my full-time job a week. And I was going to give it till the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I knew I was barely going to make that.
Right.
I quit yesterday because when I'm out there on the road, I become, it's like how I am right now, complete night and day.
Right.
And it's just.
Right.
Things were just, got to the final straw yesterday and I was.
Right. Yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think you deserve to have Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
I mean, you know, because there's a lot of pressure if you have one day and the weekend to, like, do everything fun in one day.
Yeah.
But, by the way, that's the way I grew up in Israel. We had one day. Sunday was a work day.
Yeah.
So, and my Saturdays were even worse because I had to go to synagogue and I had to, like, do religious shit, you know. So I had no weekend. Mm-hmm. I hated the weekend. But now that you have Sundays free.
Yeah.
I mean, you could.
Now I have even more time to do absolutely nothing.
Right. But you'll feel better about it because you won't have to do it in one day. You can have 2 days. You can have 2 days of doing nothing.
But it's interesting. It's interesting how like different experience. You never come to understand certain perspectives
mm-hmm.
until you experience certain things. You never understand just what even just a little bit of like isolation can do to the mind.
Right.
And what it can do to one's ultimate perception of humanity, and it's just
right.
Yeah, so that's my educational moment for the day.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was in isolation all day today until we decided to do this. I was, you know, I had a day off because you know Columbus Day,
the famous Italian. You know,
yes, I'm glad Tracy shed some light on Columbus. Apparently, he you know, he was more...
He was looking for an Italian hoagie.
Yeah, that's right. And somehow America became America. But, you know, like, it's just very weird when you have, like... You know, it's nice. I don't feel bad about it, but, like, when you don't do anything for a few hours and you have the whole day, you're like... At first, you're like, I'm allowed to do nothing. I'm allowed to just sit here in my sweatpants.
Especially when it's like the beginning hours of the day. You know, you're not in a rush to do anything. You know, you can sort of lounge around, not rush anything.
Yeah, but I kind of find that once, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, once you are on the couch and then you put your feet up, that's a position that's hard to get out of.
It's almost like a sexual position that you can't get out of. Like, I don't know any because I don't have sex, but, you know, it's...
Right, right. It's almost like, okay, let's say you're... You've entered a sexual zone.
Right.
And then...
If we should consult the Kama Sutra for an exact example.
Well, I mean, I suppose, like, some kind of Orpheus. You know? So, and then you're in there. And then it's like you... But you don't feel like really doing anything sexual. Or, like, you know, moving forward or back. You're just kind of there.
Yeah. Just kind of inside,
and then the woman or the man, they're like,
"Is anything happening there?
What's going on there? Are you taking a break before we started?" Yeah. And you're like, "Yeah, you know, I just, you know, it's my day off, you know." And then the other person's like, "All right," and then just kind of stay. You're there for a while until the blood starts to leave the area. So you know, and I've been in those situations actually. I just, you know, once you're there, you're like, okay, now the hard part is over. Like the begging, you know, the other person finally said yes.
Right, right.
So now the pressure for that is off.
And then you kind of like, you kind of accomplished something. Now you kind of, you've gotten your reward. And now it's like,
right.
You know what?
And now it's time to rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it might not be fulfilling for the other person, but right. You don't care because now you have the upper hand.
Right.
Because now you are where you want to be.
Right.
So I'll be like, I move when I'll feel like it. You know what I mean? I think she just texted us, by the way. I sent her the episode.
Oh, right, right.
Oh, no, it's not her.
Oh.
It's Frank the pilot.
I have Frank the pilot.
I have two pilots in my life that text me. Two people that fly airplanes.
Oh shit! We should set them up. Let them meet. They can talk about being pilots.
I guess they're both married. So
I mean, they don't have to have sex or anything.
I know, but it's just funny. Like I just had Ben the pilot texted me. Now I have Frank the pilot text me.
It's always funny how it's like simple names too. Like you don't have Reginald the pilot and Archibald the pilot. You know, it's Ben
and Frank.
Yeah,
like and they're both pilots, and they're both asking me the same question. Like, are all your people in Israel okay?
Oh, yeah,
so they're both. So Frank the pilot says, "Good to know." Crazy how shit like this erupts sometimes. Yeah, I mean, it's like nobody knows what to say, you know, but... Yeah. But anyway, I have two pilots, and Ben the pilot says, I hope everybody's okay. So both of them are pretty much saying the same things.
Yeah.
But anyway...
I guess it's really... That's the problem. You know, there's...
No, I know. Nobody knows what to say in times like this, but, you know, it is really weird, though, talking about perspective, you know, when you have this... You know, crazy situation in the world, and these are places that I grew up in. So I have, you know, you saw the movie, or we saw a movie called
That was good. What was it called?
It's called Walking on Water.
Okay,
and it has very interesting story between like you know Jews and Germans, and it's a good storyline. Now half of it takes place in Israel, half in Germany. So you see a lot of Israel in the movie. You saw a lot of Israel in the movie. So it's just. You know, that's the hardest part about this whole situation, besides all the death, is that it just happens. Israel is a very small country. It's 8 hours from the north to the south. It's smaller than New Jersey. And to think that all this shit is happening, like this could be happening. It's just like Rahway is getting missiles attacked, and we're sitting here in Princeton. You know, it's just very, very, just to give people... An example,
yeah,
yeah. It's a tiny, tiny piece of land, you know. So, yeah, I was actually feeling very emotional about it when this happened on Saturday. And then I had to do this play, so I had to, like, put my head in. By the way, can I just talk about my play for a second?
Let's do it, man, because I don't think you talked about Olive.
Yeah, no, I know. So Stacey, now the other Stacey, the comedian.
Oh, yeah, Stacey the comedian.
She also wants to be on our show. We're going to have two Stacys on the show.
Wait, who's the first Stacey?
Stacey. Oh, Tracy. Tracy. Sorry.
Tracy and Stacey. Dude, if that's not a sign.
What a sign of what?
I don't know. Tracy and Stacey. Don't be a spinoff.
We have Hurricane Tracy and Comedian Tracy.
Right, so we'll have an episode where they're both on the episode, right? Tracy and Stacy. They'll start their own spinoff.
I know.
That will blow up.
I know, and we'll be left in the
after
dust.
After the first episode.
I know, and we'll be left in the dust.
Yeah.
You know, nobody will know that
British Mark will leave us for them.
He'll never leave us. If he leaves, I'll go after him. I know sort of where he lives. But yeah, so I've done, I was complaining about this play that I'm in that had a lot of obstacles and an actor left right in the last minute, and then I got another actor that you know, and thank God he came and he delivered and he was great, but he was only with us for the first weekend, so now we have to break in another actor, mm-hmm. So now we have to rehearse, if I don't get Thursday off for Tracy, I'm going to be really upset.
If that happens, you'll end up getting like a explosive bout of, like, diarrhea or something. You just can't go to the show.
Yeah. No, I'm going to tell them that I have plans on Thursday, and it's going to be just Tuesday and Wednesday.
Good thing is, also, I'm going to the show on Friday, so I'm going to be able to see this real time.
I actually feel good about the show, but now the guy is leaving, so now there's going to be... So, first of all, this place has no green room. Green room is a place where actors, it's like a waiting room, right? Or the dressing room.
Yeah.
So we don't have that. So basically,
Always green, though. They don't always have like green walls or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know where the green comes from, but okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm colorblind, so I don't care.
Right.
It could be made out of shit.
Right.
So we have no green room, and we basically have a door, and then it's just like stairs. We're in a stairwell. Staircase, stair place.
That sounds like a safety hazard.
Yeah, I guess. But there's a door. There, we have a door that we can open to the outside. But now all of us, and it's a large cast, right? 12 people because we're in a juror situation. So now I don't like people, okay? Right. Especially before I go on stage. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to hear people breathe. I don't want people to breathe on me. I don't want to be in the same room with people. Okay? Because I need to focus, and I have to really focus when I'm in this place. So I don't know where to go now. Because everybody is like, now we're like in a concentration camp, all on top of each other. Okay? There is a door that could go out, but then there's wind and there's rain, and I don't want to be outside. You know, my hair is very fragile.
You do get a lot of hair products.
Well, when you have the problems that I have, you have to have a lot of products, you know? Not everybody can have, 38-year-old hair.
37.
37-year-old hair.
Skip a year.
So now Danny is very unhappy, and Danny needs to find his own place, right? So there's four levels upstairs, so I decide... The only option that I have is to go to the fourth staircase, right? Away from these people. By the way, I would say 75% of the cast is really annoying and stupid. Okay.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy that I brought in. I like anyway, they're all there like cattle, and they're talking.
Oh, yeah.
There's one guy that, first of all, he doesn't shower, so he's got a stench on him. And then he's like Mr. He brings donuts. And all he says, all I hear from him is, donuts! Anybody want a donut? Like, this is every rehearsal. And so I want to take a donut, shove it up his ass. Shove it up his throat, throw him into the Gothel's Bridge. And he doesn't take showers. Like, there's something wrong with him. So I'm trying to concentrate. I'm looking at my lines. All I hear is, and then donuts. Anybody want donuts? This is all this is nuts. This is like 20 minutes before the show. Like, I want to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Luckily, my character is very angry in the show, so my anger is like, by the time I go on stage, I am ready to slaughter a horse, you know?
I cannot fucking wait to see this, dude, because I've seen you do a dramatic role.
Yeah.
But I've never seen you do angry before.
Yeah.
So this is going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, I had... And of course, story of my life, the director, the MacArthur Theater is a big theater around here.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a woman by the name of Emily Mann who was the director for 25 years. Never seen me in a play. Now she's retired. Now she comes to see me. She came on Friday night because she's a friend of Aunt Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
So now she sees me. And of course, she goes afterwards, oh, Danny, you're fat. And then she sends a text to my aunt. She goes, Danny was fabulous. By the way, which is nice, but I don't like the word fabulous. It's a little... There's a
gay connotation.
There's a gay connotation.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But there's also... It also smacks of... my aunt, Ginny, she uses it a lot. Yeah. I saw a Broadway play. It was fabulous. Now...
I don't think your Aunt Jenny sounds like that. I've heard her voice.
Yeah, she sounds exactly like that. She says fabulous. No, she doesn't sound like that, but I mean, it's an interpretation.
Right.
and the word fabulous, besides having the gay connotation, not that there's anything wrong with that, it also has sort of, to me, an elitist quality. It's like a sort of like poor people or middle class people, they don't often say, hey, I went to my construction job today. It was fabulous.
Well, no one's going to say that about a construction job ever. So.
Right. But even if a construction worker went to a play or a Springsteen concert, you wouldn't say, probably wouldn't say that was fabulous.
See, even then, like, I wouldn't equate it with class. I would definitely equate it with gender.
Okay.
Well.
You think women say it more
than men? Women say it more than men, and if guys say it, it's...
Probably feminine.
It's probably gay. Not there's anything wrong with that, but,
right,
you know.
Right. Right, it's very rare to see a straight guy saying, "I went to see AC/DC last night. They were fabulous."
No, because like it's be like they're awesome. You know, we would use manly adjectives.
Yeah, there were
ones that take less syllables.
Right, they were on fire. But I don't. I have a problem with the word fabulous. It's not something. If you see me hear say the word fabulous, I want you to kick me in the balls or something. You know, because it's not. I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay.
or even like food, or people that eat something and they go, this is delicious. I don't even like the word delicious or yummy or fabulous. I don't like any of those.
We covered the fabulous part.
Right. I don't like anything that's overly descriptive like that, you know?
My go-to is, it's pretty good.
Well, pretty good is very non-committal.
I've even offered to be, like, my sister's, like, PR guy for, like, her baking. I've offered to be the guy that goes on, like, every single Facebook post, be like, it's pretty good. It's, like, every item
that she makes. It was pretty good, yeah. But that's not a great endorsement.
But it's consistent, and it becomes, like, synonymous with the brand. And you know what? It's one of those things where it kind of becomes tongue-in-cheek where it's like, her stuff is awesome.
Right.
So it's pretty good, kind of undersells it, but at the same time, it's like you eat it, you're like, well, yeah, no shit, it's pretty good.
There's a
lot of levels. See, I'm a smart guy. There's a lot of levels to it.
Right, but if someone came up to me, and someone actually, this happened actually on Friday.
Oh, shit.
My aunt's... sort of a housekeeper who's more than a housekeeper. She's part of the family almost. She came to the play.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually four different people with the same name. Anya, because she's from Poland. So she had four Anyas with her, okay? It's very confusing for me. So, and then she comes to me, and then this whole thing, her car broke down on the way to the thing, so she, you know, I'm on the way to the theater driving, and I get a phone call, my car broke down in the highway, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, why is everything so complicated, like, what am I supposed to do? So anyway, her car broke down on the highway, she had to get somebody to rescue her, and she made it to the play 10 minutes. So then afterwards, she goes, you're pretty good, it's pretty good, she kept saying pretty good. So I'm like, thank you. But I mean, if someone came up to you, like for me, if someone says pretty good, it's not really a compliment. It's more like, you're pretty good. It was almost good. Like, it wasn't bad. Like, you didn't stink. But it's not really, you weren't really good. That's the way I take
it. That's the way you take it. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you had to choose between pretty good and fabulous, what would you rather?
Fabulous.
Oh, you'd rather get fabulous?
Well, yeah, than pretty good? Right. Pretty good. Like, imagine if you had sex with somebody and the woman goes, that's pretty good.
And I'd be like, it was you, so
you're right, right. Yourself. Well, right. It takes two to tango here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather get fabulous, even if I don't like the word, but it's better than pretty good. Like, if someone was to give me a compliment, the best way. Be like, hey, you were good, or you know, just say good. Like, pretty good is qualifying good.
See, to me, I'm not good with compliments in general, so they all become the same. Whether it's pretty good, fabulous, outstanding, you're the next reincarnation of Christ, you know, it's all the same thing.
Huh.
Okay. I never actually had the last one said to me, but just for
general. No, you are. You might be.
I could be.
You could be.
I'm pretty sure they haven't exactly ruled out reincarnation, but you know, I digress. But right. Either way, to me, a compliment, it all means the same thing to me.
All right,
because to me, someone comes up to me, especially if they don't know me, the fact they actually come up to me and actually say something to me, that means more than the actual words.
Yeah,
it's the act.
That's very nice of you to say.
I have some nice moments.
I would rather hear good than pretty good, because pretty good, it qualifies the good.
See, I actually think that pretty good is more than good. In terms of like, if you were to provide each one with the value.
Okay.
I would say, let's say 1 is good, 10 is fabulous. To me, pretty good is a 2.
Wow. So pretty is accentuating the good. It's
yeah.
Like pretty good.
Because, okay, I'll say the same thing. It's all about also the amount of effort. You could just say it's good. And expend your oxygen to just on
good.
One syllable.
Right.
Whereas you're taking the time and the effort
right.
to say another 2 syllables
okay.
in
okay.
pretty.
Right. So you're saying pretty good is like, it's like pretty
it's,
good.
It's Oh, yeah. It's more than good.
Okay. Because the way I take it is like pretty good. Like,
now, see, me, good has 3 levels. Good, pretty good. Okay, 4 levels. Good, pretty good, really good. Really fucking good.
Wow. That's, yeah. Well, how about pretty fucking good?
Okay, so that's like in between pretty good and
well,
really
it's
good.
But okay, so I see what you're saying. So if you ever tell me that I'm pretty good, then I'll know that you mean that I'm very good. that I'm more than good.
Right, that you're more than good. Yeah.
More than good, yeah. Because okay, so that's okay, pretty good.
And plus, you also know from me that if I say pretty good, you're pretty much anywhere on the range from good to fabulous, because I'm just going to say it no
right.
matter what it is.
Right. So, okay. But let's see. It's all in the meaning that we attach to it, right?
Right.
So I still think that if someone says to me, you're pretty good.
Okay. Oh, again, the way they say it could have been like, hey, man, you're pretty good. Or, hey, that was pretty good.
Right.
It's all also
no,
depends
it's,
on.
It's all in the tone. Right.
Yep.
Right.
I've had the, hey, that was pretty good. I've had that.
Right. I also don't want the word pretty in there. I just don't want the word pretty in there. Like, pretty and fabulous should just be both of them just gone.
Well, if you had mentioned that to begin with, you could have avoided this discussion.
Well, no, but now I know that when you say pretty good, it means that it's good and then some.
This is a stupid fucking
No, it's not. It's good to know. It's good to know. I think we should call this episode pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, the point is, what was the point?
Actually think it's kind of funny. We actually just had a discussion. We haven't used the pretty good reference in a while on
right.
the show.
Right.
And the fact that we actually kind of tied it back to that, came back to that in an organic way was actually...
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty good is something that Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm says a lot.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is a show on HBO.
HBO is the network on television. It's one of the streaming services.
Right. Well, it was a cable network.
Right. The first cable network, probably. I think it was one of the first ones.
I think one of the first ones. Like, it was definitely big, like...
Yeah,
in terms of like
it was one of the for a while. It was the only like cable show that had movies for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's for all the British people that are listening.
Right, that are busy watching BBC and Sky and whatever the other networks are over there.
Right, right, right. And now HBO is one of many streaming services like Hulu and
Netflix
and everything. Mm-hmm. But Curb Your Enthusiasm is a very funny show. And
very brilliant.
We're expecting another season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing a 12th.
Yeah, when is that getting here?
I don't know.
But and it pretty for some reason, it's not even funny. It just became a thing. Mm-hmm. When he goes, pretty good. It's not even that funny, but just the fact that they repeat it, it makes it funny.
Yeah.
So sometimes repetition makes a joke funnier than it originally is. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just saying. So, okay. So, I am now in this green room, which is not green. Okay. And all I'm trying to do is... And by the way, there's one bathroom in the whole place.
Oh, it's all the way in like the other
fucking building. All the way. All the way. And, you know, so I'm just trying to preserve my sanity. I really... You know, when a lot of people... And we have to get there an hour before the show. So it's not like it's, I mean, it's a long time to be in a room with people when they're all just, hey, so what show are you doing next? And you know, all that. I mean, I'm dying because I just don't want, I want it to be like a library. I want silence. This is like a job, right? Yeah. I don't want to have any fun, you know? And then you just hear people just saying stupid stuff to each other. And then the way people laugh, like one of the guys in the cast, he'll just laugh even when something is not funny. Like say something.
Hi.
That's the way he sounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just like over and over again. It drives me insane.
But see, I would appreciate, like, if I were to say something to someone, and I actually, like, intended to be funny, that's the kind of laugh I would like to hear.
But you can't trust this guy because he does that over... If you say, hey, what time is it? Oh, it's 3 minutes after 6. You know, he just has these... it's like having these mini orgasms.
Maybe he's very easily entertained.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how annoying... And I don't think I get annoyed more than the average person. I really
I think you do. That, or, you know, I just spend way too much time with you compared to the rest of humanity, I just don't see them getting annoyed over the little things.
I don't know. You don't, I mean, to your credit, you don't really annoy me, you know, like you don't have like tics or weird like things that you do, you know. I mean, I have this one guy. I think I said it before. He's up there in the He has this Tourette's thing where he just goes, he just starts like,
sounds like a horse.
He doesn't do it on stage, but he does it off stage all the time.
Right, this guy is.
Yeah, yeah. He just goes, like, it's like he's got like a donkey stuck in his throat or something. And he just walks around, and he's tall, so like you can't miss him. And he just walks around like Frankenstein. He goes, and then the other guy's like, and then the other guy's like, donuts, I got donuts. Like, I can't take it, man. I have to do 2 more weekends with these people. So anyway, it was a nightmare. But anyway, the shows went well. I had my, the woman, we call Shakira. You know?
Oh, Shakira.
You know, she came.
Oh, is she?
On Saturday.
What'd she think?
Well, you know, she said I was good. She gave me the...
she said you were pretty good?
She didn't say pretty good, but she gave me the hand clap.
Oh, that's good.
She came with a friend of hers, so she actually came on a night that was less attended. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she came on a less than 20 night. So, you know, it's better when you have at least 30 people that you get more of a...
Yeah.
But, no, she was good. She came with a friend, and I, you know, it was nice that she came, you know, and I think they had a good time. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty, like, you know, menacing in this place, so I don't know what she really, you know, thought, you know, but I haven't had time.
I mean, she doesn't understand that it was acting, right? Yeah.
Well, I assume that she's seen movies before.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I'm assuming she knew that it wasn't an actual court case she was watching, because they typically don't let audiences in on jury proceedings.
Right. No, she likes movies. She likes Stranger Things. You know, she likes like scarier stuff. There's also this one part. This just weird shenanigans. There's a woman in the play that keeps embellishing a few lines. She tries to add some comedy to it, and it's not funny. And I didn't even notice it until the new guy that I brought in goes, "What? Why is she saying this?" You know,
right?
It's just like one line it's not that funny what she's saying. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. And then the director should say something about it, but she's not. There's just a lot of weird. There was one moment where the new guy is like reading from the script, and he has to do something with a knife. Mm-hmm. And it got stuck in his pocket and he couldn't get it out.
Oh no.
So now we have to like stretch it out, and I could see him struggling. So we're just like improvising. That's another thing. Like, people in this play are sort of improvising when they don't have lines, because we're all in one room. Mm-hmm. So to make it sound authentic, people are just like saying lines, but they're saying stuff, and and now you can't hear the cue.
Oh fuck!
So it's just really it's bad.
I'm surprised that Linda is.
She's not aware of everything that's going on. Oh, really? I think she's like I've done what I could. Mm. But I mean, we pulled it off. I will say that we pulled it off. But there's a lot of like, and usually when you do a play and it's on stage and you don't have to rehearse it anymore. But now because they bring this new guy, and she goes, "Hi everybody, here's the new guy." And he looks like, I mean, maybe he'll surprise me, but the guy has to have fire, right? Because I have to go head to head with him. I want the person to be guilty, and the other person is very much that he wants not guilty. Mm-hmm. And the whole play is us clashing.
Oh, wow.
And this guy seems like a timid Jewish chef. I mean, or not even a chef. Like a timid Jewish golfer. That's what he seemed like to me. Mm. Like, I don't see him arguing. I don't see him raising his voice. That's just my first impression. So now I'm thinking, you know, he's going to be all timid. He's not going to give me anything back. I hope I'm surprised. Yeah. I hope I'm, but I don't want to stereotype, but he looks like a nice Jewish golfer. You know, usually Jewish golfers, you know, they don't have a lot of, you know, if they miss a shot, they're not going to be like, "Oh, fuck!" You know, they're usually like, "They didn't go in."
I feel like that's just a lot of, that's generation upon generation of disappointment and persecution and just passed down and sort of whittled away the emotions, the nerve endings there.
I think you could get that way even if you're not Jewish. I don't think Hurricane Tracy is Jewish, and she definitely seems defeated and in a way that is probably not. She's probably going to stay that way and get worse. She's probably not. It's not going to get better. You know. I think. What we do? Should we delve into her dating life and like really scrutinize her relationships?
Well, I think it should be. If anything, if we were to do that, it has to be like an even keel. Like, we have to be able to divulge our own.
Yeah, but we have the thing.
Well, you know, not to her.
Right. That's true. That's true. Right. Well, I mean, as you can tell from their conversation with her, it flows like lava, right? So, so the question is, do we have like? So I have certain topics that
I'm expected to maybe say hi at the beginning, and then it's just going to be you and her talking for the rest of the episode.
No, that's not going to happen. This is what we're going to do. Okay, we're gonna do like sign language. Okay, when she starts going on a tangent, which will be within the first minute of the show.
Right. Right.
We'll do some kind of sign and the sign will be for you to come into the circle.
Yeah.
You know,
I also have to find a way to organically.
I think when she's here, she likes you. She thinks you're a good looking guy. Yeah. So I think, yeah, she said that to you.
Yeah.
So I think she will, I don't think she's going to hurricane all over both of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And even if that happens, we'll do two episodes.
You know? Okay, man. Dude, this could be a trilogy.
I know. I think it's gonna be like a Nolan.
All I got is Friday, and then I'm off for the next week.
No, I know. This is gonna be really, really funny because like once in a while in life you hit the jackpot when you get the right person for the right thing.
Oh yeah,
and that was so obvious.
Oh yeah.
I mean, God knows what we talked. I don't even know what we talked about. I think we talked about her coming out of the womb smoking a cigarette.
Coming out of the womb, yeah.
That's a good image right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when you
talked about Grindr and getting naked photos from dudes or something.
Yeah. Speaking of birth, I imagine that when you slid into the world,
right,
you probably didn't cry. You were probably like very like.
I forget if I did. I forget what Mom said. I forget if I was. I probably did cry because I feel like that's normal for a lot of.
I think it is normal. I think your crying was probably very minimal.
It was probably.
Yeah, it was probably like, so this is life. You had a very deadpan observation. You were like a very Seinfeld.
I come out, I'm like, put me back.
You're like, I don't like this. I don't need this. I probably came out screaming my head off.
You're like, what's this?
I'm like, why? That was so traumatic. I scream a lot when I'm on a roller coaster. I imagine that's I took a roller coaster ride this summer with Sarah Taylor. She's like a friend of the family. You know the Taylors?
Oh, the Taylors.
So they have a daughter, Sarah, who's like in her 40s now. I used to babysit her. So I said to her, look, I don't want to go on a very scary roller coaster. I'll go on a very tiny, you know, one that just drops a little bit, you know? So we go. It's called a flume, you know? It's got water.
Oh yeah, it's like a log flume type thing.
Yeah, and it does go up, which is kind of scary.
In order to come down, you have to go up first.
Mm-hmm. So it is kind of scary going up because it makes it seem like it's going to be a huge down, but it's not that bad.
Right.
But I was screaming my head off, and she said she's never heard screams like that. And her Sarah Taylor start. She said she's never laughed so hard on her life because I was screaming because I forgot. I wasn't sure how down it was going to be, and then it wasn't that bad, and I did it 4 times in a row because I wanted to feel like a man.
Yeah.
Right. But the first time I was really screaming, and I imagine the way I would be coming out of the womb.
The uterus. Yeah.
Yeah. But I imagine that Tracy would be someone like that too. She's very dramatic, you know. So the question is, you know, I mean, I usually do have a few topics to talk about, but with her, like...
This is a complete, like, almost reactionary episode, following up from...
Right, the hurricane.
The hurricane.
We had a hurricane.
The prelude to the hurricane, even.
Right. This is us trying to regain composure.
Yes.
We're back to being Beavis and Butthead. But I was serious about the fact that the dynamic is that usually you're the voice of reason, I'm sort of the idiot.
Mm.
And when she's around, I'm in danger of losing the idiot part.
Well, I think at the same, I thought,
you know what I mean? Like I'm very comfortable being the idiot.
So in my experience,
okay,
just in that prelude, I feel like she completely took over the idiot role.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of scaled back on the idiot and actually kind of took on the voice of reason for a bit.
Right.
I kind of became really even more silent than I typically am.
Well, you know why? Because I became the voice of reason, thus leaving you nothing to do.
Exactly.
So the only way for you to be the voice of reason is if both of us are idiots.
Right.
Which could easily happen.
Right.
See, if I become the voice of reason, then what are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I have to, I will have to adapt to, this was good because now I recognize where I stand in this whole social dynamic. So now I have to prepare for that. I need to be able to match.
Well,
I think part of it was also I wasn't able to really match it. I think it's part of an age.
But it's also a dynamic of three. And that's the problem with a threesome conversationally is that there's always one that is sort of left out. And for me, it doesn't matter if it's me or you that's left out. Like often with Gaber – when who the fuck knows what we talked about with him. Like, you know, I sort of let him shine, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so with Tracy as the guest, she's going to be the one shining.
Right.
Like, we have to take the back seat.
Now, see, me, I have to be able to... See, there was already a dynamic of in terms of age difference.
Right.
So...
Right.
I need to be able to pull my weight and show, all right, you guys may be in your...
Older.
Doesn't necessarily mean you're more fucked up than me.
All
right.
No, that's true. I think it's obvious that we're all fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take, like, I mean, a Martian from outer space can see that. Mm. Without a flashlight. So, I don't want you to feel left out. But I do feel like it is as is, and whatever happens, happens.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, we're definitely not going to be able to plan. If anything, I might be able to plan my opening statement. my closing arguments, if
anything. Well, that was her without alcohol. Like, imagine her.
Oh, I know. I can't fucking wait.
It is going to be. it's going to be. I'm going to be. I'm going. So, well, this is my role is going to be to let her shine. So I you know, I'm not going to take over unless. I mean, if I have a shitting story to say, I'll say it.
I see. At the same time, she knows. She's known you for a long time. So I feel like, if anything, there's going to be more of a natural.
No, she doesn't know me that well.
Oh, no?
No, we've never really hung out. The only time we hung out is when we went to see you in a play.
Oh, right.
That was the only time I ever really hung out with her. And that was actually a weird night, because she seemed very... she wasn't crazy Tracy that night. She was very, like, maternal Tracy. She was like, Danny, are you okay? And what's going on? She was asking me very... She was treating me as if I was...
child?
In need of help.
Huh.
Which
so who, that was 2016, but I mean, at the same time, I think you 2016 that was you were with Sean at the time.
Well, I probably needed help. Yeah. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, when I was with Sean, I did have episodes of depression. You know, so not because of her. It just, you know, I definitely. So maybe she heard that, and she was very. I remember her asking me, like, looking at me as if I'm really in trouble, and asking me, and I was like, "Don't look at me with that look of pity. You're Tracy Farmer. I should pity you." You know, that's the way that night went.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but now I feel like, I mean, you know, I mean, we're all sort of, you know, I mean, but it is weird to have, like, maybe the only solution is to have four people now. Like, and then there'll be, like, two, you know, because with three people, one is going to be a little.
Guy get comedian Stacy. We'll have, like, a battle of the sexes.
That's going to be so hard to moderate. Like, even Howard Stern couldn't moderate, like, Tracy and Stacy at the same time.
It's got to happen, man. It's got to happen.
No, for sure.
We got to keep on building up. We got to keep on going up, man. The star's the fucking limit.
Well, I think, Stacy, comedian Stacy, I've talked to her pretty often, and mm-hmm. She's kind of like a guy in a way, you know. She's not overly descriptive. She doesn't.
Right.
She's not very verbose and details. Mm-hmm. She's very, like, bottom line, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's not even. And she's funny on stage, but she's not necessarily that funny in real life. She's kind of deadpan like you.
Right.
So, you know, who knows? I mean, I mean,
it's supposed to be a match made in hell.
Well, she's not a hurricane like Tracy is.
Right.
I mean,
I think it'll be an interesting dynamic to have different. It sounds like it would be four different people at four different modes.
Right.
And actually, it'd be interesting to see how it all bounces off each other.
Well, I think any room with Hurricane Tracy, she is going to be the dominant force, which is not a bad thing, you know. But I wonder. This is actually. I'll give this some thought. I might have some questions prepared just in case we get into a lull
on Thursday.
Like, I'd like to know, for example, is she always Hurricane? Is she always on, or does she have moments where she's just very, very subdued? Because all I know her is to be always on, you know. So that's a good question, right?
A very good question.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, people might think that I'm on a lot, but I'm not always on, you know?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever truly always on. Everyone has, there's always like that. It depends on who they're around, and it depends
right
if they're around anyone at all. I feel like mm-hmm. when we're alone or around, when we're alone or when we're around people we really trust, that's when we will either be, that's when we'll be like our truest selves.
Right. But but this gets complicated because I am sometimes accused of being too on when I'm social. But then I think to myself, I say self, am I, maybe being on socially is my true self. Like I don't, it's a very fine line between trying too hard or just being yourself. You know what I mean? And right. I'm more on with certain people than I am with other people. You know, like with my family, I'm not on at all. I just kind of.
Okay, so I guess what we, I guess what we could take, maybe we could take from that is maybe there is no, maybe there is no true, with a capital T, self. Maybe right. There's just, there's different parts of us.
Right.
Some people may feel more comfortable around being open toward, or just simply being like, you know what, I don't have to impress you, so I'm just going to kind of sit back.
Right. Yeah, I'll let the other person shine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other people, we may want to, I don't know if it's maybe we want to impress them, or maybe we feel uncomfortable, so then we...
You try extra hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Actually, oh my God.
Oh shit,
I'm dying. No, I'm okay. Oh, no, I remember once I was going out with my Israeli lady, and who was very... she was pretty charming and usually very captivating socially. So sometimes I would be in the back seat. Mm-hmm. But actually, I remember we went to Tel Aviv one night. She introduced me to one of her friends. So it's we're in a car. Me, my girlfriend at the time in the back seat, and two Israeli women in the front seat. And we're traveling for about 45 minutes to a club in Tel Aviv, right? And her friend... I just met, and she's cool. She's a singer-songwriter. I actually did a podcast with her later.
Oh, nice.
And she was very cool, and she was playing a playlist of songs that I grew up with, like fun songs from the 70s. And my Israeli girlfriend at the time was starting to feel very quiet and very withdrawn, and she felt like I was joking around with her friend, and we were having a good time. And I could tell that my Israeli girlfriend at the time was feeling uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable, but she wasn't being herself. She wasn't being vocal. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, she leans over to me. She says, hey, I'm feeling like I'm not belonging or, you know. So I kind of felt bad for her because, it's not a good feeling, you know.
Yeah.
But she just said, it's fine. Like, it just happens and I'm not going to – it is what it is. And, you know, you guys have fun and I'll be myself when I'm feeling myself again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good way to look at it. Like, sometimes if you're feeling like you're not yourself socially, it's not the end of the world. Like, for example, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but you went to a picnic, right? You had a picnic.
Oh, right. Work, yeah.
Right. I know it's not a great story, but we were joking that you, like, this was a social thing that was thrusted upon you.
Yeah.
And did you feel, how did it go? Did you feel?
It went pretty well, because a lot of it, there wasn't really too much socializing. It was like, you know, we showed up, a group of us went together, we sat together. We ate, but there was also like the CEO of the company. He spoke for a bit. Then we had like a magician / comedian come on. He was pretty good.
He really was?
Yeah, his name was Gemini.
Right.
And I think he hails from Brooklyn originally.
Was he an old guy, like in the 60s?
I would say 50s or 60s. Italian guy.
Because usually they're not that good.
So, well, he was entertaining enough.
Okay.
And I guess for the context and the fact that, you know, I was there, I was being paid for it.
Yeah.
Be there anyway.
You had no expectations.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was happening. I thought it was just going to be a lunch and that was going to be it.
Right.
So other than that, I mean, that was good. It was great seeing like everyone around. It's kind of one of those things where it's like you forget just how many employees work at the place, you know.
Well, I was hoping that you were going to lock eyes with a, you know, a particular, you know.
Nah, didn't happen.
Okay. All right. But I mean, but you know, the point I was trying to make was that, you know, if one does, I think the older that you get, not one of the good things about getting older is you start to not worry so much about, like, if you are feeling odd socially, you know it's going to pass.
Yeah.
You know not to beat yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if Tracy starts to take over, I'm going to tell her to shut up.
Okay.
This is my apartment.
Right.
This is my show.
And you're the man.
And I'm the man. And she's gonna take a ruler and spank me, you know, so who knows?
Right. I'd probably get jealous if that happens.
No. I think You want to be spanked by Tracy?
Just any sort of contact from like the opposite sex would be pretty nice.
Well, it's very funny because like she, I think she, well, she'll probably talk about it. I mean, I think she had a relationship like 2 years ago or something, but it wasn't somebody from here. It was like a long distance. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she's in our boat, you know, she's in our pathetic boat, mm-hmm. you know, and when you get three pathetic people in the same room with alcohol and a podcast, look out.
Fucking A, man.
There's going to be like three unhappy people. You know? Because if one person is happy, they're not going to have a lot to say.
Right.
You know, you have to be unhappy to have good content.
All right, so I have to really... Here's the thing, man. I could totally go down the dark rabbit hole.
Well, I don't mean to go down the dark rabbit hole like in a depressing sort of way, because that's not fun for anybody. But I mean, like, in order to have any kind of content, it doesn't have to be a dark rabbit hole. Mm. I'm just saying that to have any content in the world, it's usually best coming from somebody who's not too happy. Because if you're happy, you're just going to be like, eh.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I went to work today. Everything's great. I contributed it to society. Then I came home to my hot wife. We had hot sex in a hot tub. And you know what I mean? Like, who?
And you know, a bunch of the hot water got inside my urethra as I came and it burned the inside and it's fucking traveled all the way up into my bladder.
And like, I want some kind of unhappiness.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be huge, but just enough to make me feel better about being in the room. You know what I mean? So with Tracy, I don't think I'm gonna feel so bad because I don't think she's that happy, you know.
Right.
I mean, I don't wish her to be unhappy. I just don't want her to be too happy.
Right. You don't want her to be happier than you.
Right. 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 I want.
We should at the very most be at equal level.
Right. Like I want us to go all of us into the podcast feeling. Like, not suicidal, but not too happy, right? And then I want us to leave at the same amount.
At the very end, I want us to come to a point where, like, I finally push end because it's over after our epic five-part series. We kind of look at each other and we're like, but we're not looking at each other. So we're kind of ashamed at that point. We're like,
right.
You know, certain things were revealed here tonight that...
Well, but that's not going to happen. What could we say that would make us ashamed?
Imagine. Just imagine.
Imagine all the people. No, I mean... I
remember the rest of the song. Good song. Good album.
Imagine's a good album. I mean, John Lennon's birthday today. We should say that, you know... I mean, nobody acknowledges it because it's Columbus Day. And nobody says, you know, John Lennon... I mean, it is, what, 41 years? 40 years? 41 years?
43 since his death.
I will tell people that we have done an episode on John Lennon. I think it was last year.
Yes, we did. Very, very good episode, I think.
Very good episode. It didn't get the attention that it deserved.
No.
And but if people want to know about John Lennon and how we feel about him, there's an episode from... Just look down.
Just scroll... Just scroll.
Just scroll.
Just you'll scroll. Find it eventually.
It's like the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know, it's like 100 episodes ago. How many episodes do you think we've done from last October till now?
Oh my God, dude. Dude, we should, at the very least, we should at least strive to be like the podcast with the most number of episodes.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
We have a lot.
We should see which podcast currently has the most number of episodes, how many that is, and just strive to go, like, more.
Yeah. I do know that the one that I used to do a lot, the Bob Schneider one, has, they've done it for a long time. And they used to do it twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
But they do half an hour episodes. Mm-hmm. So I think they're up to, like, 300 episodes.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, at least, oh my God, my phone is exploding with the... let's see if Tracy has
anything. I think it's family stuff, probably.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My family is really... I just wonder if Tracy... It would be... Oh, Tracy... Tracy has not said anything. It would suck if she calls us up and she goes, you know what, guys? I want the episode to be off the air. I sounded terrible.
Oh, my God.
No, I know. I think she's going to be cool. Yeah. This episode flew by. We're at the 58th minute now.
Yeah, it's... You know, Anchor really fucks you with this... well, not Anchor, but Spotify for podcasters really fucks you with the fucking hour-long
minimum. But we could splice things up.
We could.
But, I mean, we've done 2 hours.
We've done two tonight. We're down, we got to build our reserves for Thursday, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm going to try to clean. I'm going to try to have a few questions for her.
Yes, you got to take a shower between work and here because she said take a shower.
Oh. Well, you don't... Oh, you have to work that day, right? Yeah. You don't have to take a shower.
Yeah.
You shower in the morning.
I shower at night, typically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I better not have... If I have a rehearsal, I'm going to make sure that I don't have a rehearsal. But anyway, so there you go, people. We did 2 episodes for you, not for us.
Yeah, so stop fucking complaining.
I mean, we don't want to get the letters. Oh, didn't British Mark ask us something?
He said something about... We don't need to worry about
that. Yeah, okay. We don't have time for that. We haven't mentioned him at all.
No.
I'm sorry, British Mark. We don't have time for you. We're having very busy lives over here.
All right. So see you later Thursday. Go.